Yes, ek weet ons. It's great to have you here. Did you greet each other? High fives, show Christian love all around you. People to the left, to the right, in front, behind. Woo! Great, thank you. Normally the guys that make the announcements take up the offering, but the Lord just laid this on my heart, so I want to share that with you guys this morning. Special welcome to each and every single one of you. Special welcome to my brother Alan Marcus, all the way from Pringle Bay. Alan and I go back from the 90s already, so it's like over a quarter of a century. So it's really, really great to have you here, sir. Thank you so much. He's on, stays in Pringle Bay, which is beautiful, but works here, comes up here every so often, and all the way from the south of Joburg. So Alan, bless you, man. Thank you for making the time to... Thank you for making the time to come and visit you. I really appreciate you having here. Folks, I just want to share with you this morning the offering. And I think Alan is the only first-time visitor. Is there any other first-time visitors here this morning? Yeah, great to have you here. Ek sien pastoor van die gemeente, ek bring die woord. Gewoonlik praat ek nie oor die geld nie. Ek kry ander mense om dit te doen, so that you can be cross with them as die mense oor geld praat nie. So, maar... Vanoggend is besonder. So Lord laid on my heart to share with you guys this morning. So I'm going to give you a historical backdrop just quickly. So God speaks to Abraham. God tells Abraham, well then his name was still Abram. He said to Abraham, just pack up your whole family, all your stuff, and just go. I don't know about you, but if God says that to me, you know, relocate. What's the first thing you're going to ask? Where to? No, not this oak. God spoke. I believe it. That settles it. We're going to move. Imagine what it was like for him going to his wife and saying, love, pack up everything. We're going. Sure, babes, where? I don't know. Just pack. She's like, yeah, right. But Abraham obeys God. And he's on his way to the land that God tells him, you're going to go and inherit. And while this is happening, he's doing exactly what God tells him to do. Guess what? His family gets hijacked and kidnapped. Lot and some of his other relatives. So Abram gets together some of his soldiers, some of his servants that grew up in his household, and they go and they rescue his family from the hands of the enemy. And there's a huge rejoicing and there's a celebration. And in Genesis, verse 14, I'll read from verse 18, but the focus is verse 20. And then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, he's the high priest at the time, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God the Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And then Abram, it says, and he gave him a tenth of all. Nobody told Abram, listen, you better tithe, because there's a curse on your finances. And to rebuke the devourer, you have to tithe, because that's what the churches require to run the church, because that's what the churches require to pay the salaries, because that's what, none of that. He celebrated and he worshiped God by giving a tenth of all. And then Abraham has Isaac and Jacob. And Abraham must have taught this principle of this is how we worship God with our finances. Not because some preacher tells you to give because it's a law. This is how we worship God. We also worship God with our finances. And he has Isaac. And Isaac has Jacob and Esau. And what happens is Esau sells his birthright. He decides, no, it's not so important. He sells his birthright. And then, because of how God orchestrates things, instead of Esau, the firstborn, receiving the blessing of his father, Jacob gets his blessing. And Esau wants to kill his brother with rage and jealousy. And this is the backdrop. Jacob is running away from his brother. And then Genesis 22, verse 28, on his way, running away from his brother, Jacob decides to rest at a place. And he settles down and he finds a rock. And he uses the rock as a pillow. And he dorses. And while he's sleeping, he has this dream about this ladder going from earth all the way up to heaven. And on this ladder, angels are going up and down. And God meets Jacob. And he tells him how he's going to bless him. Jacob wakes up from the dream. And what does Jacob do? It says here, and this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house, Bethel. And of all that you give me, so God tells him, I'm going to bless you. Jacob says, okay, of all that you're going to give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Nobody instructs Jacob to do this. Abram did this to, gave a tenth of all his possessions to the high priest Melchizedek 430 years before God ever gave Moses the law about tithing and giving. So folks, the message is this, this tithing thing, it's not about laws and doing it because of this and because of that. You worship God. The deep end worship this morning with instruments. We worship God by singing and our praising. We can also worship God by our finances. It's not about law. It's about worshiping God. So I ask as you sit there and you meditate in your heart, let's get ready to worship the Lord together. Before the ushers come up, I'd like us to pray. Father, thank you that we can worship you with that which you have entrusted us with. Lord, the only things we can take with us to heaven one day is people. And everything that we have is yours anyway. The earth is the Lord's and all that is therein. We're just stewards of that which you give to us. So, Father, as each person purposes in their hearts what to worship you with, I thank you that you will bless and multiply that back to their lives in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Ushers, would you come and take up the offerings, please? We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We bless and glorify you, Father, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you to the ushers and for your faithful sowing into God's kingdom. You know, when we have the full complement of the worship team here, which is not here, it's called the deep end. But when some of them are not here and we have guest musicians, what's it called? The splash. Just asking, Louis. But bless you. Thanks for ministering on the bass guitar this morning. We're going to continue with our sermon series on understanding Revelation, and I ask, please just remain teachable, keep your hearts and mind open and receptive to what the Spirit of God wants to teach us this morning. And please don't think, yes, when's this going to be finished with this already? You know, I want to speak about something else, but let's continue to learn. Continue to learn what God wants to say into our hearts this morning. Please don't say yes just to make me feel good. Are you guys learning something? Is it being beneficial to you about Revelation? And hopefully it encourages you to have a look at that book more often and just see what God wants to teach us from that. Remember, it's about Jesus and reveals his heart and shows us different aspects of God. And it is for all for us to learn today, so we can continue with that. The fourth, we're busy with the seven letters to the seven churches, which were in modern-day Turkey at the time. And we're looking at the fourth church today. This is the church in Thyatira. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, or Thyatira or Thyatara or whatever, but it's the fourth church. So come with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 29, and let's see what God wants to teach us this morning. Our study for this series, certainly for this part, is from the New King James translation, and it reads as follows. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I've a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works till the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And Lord, this is our prayer this morning, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts of discernment, that it's not just an interesting teaching, but that we can apply it to our lives so that we can become more like Jesus and love you more as a result of our time spent in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As per usual, we're going to break down the lessons that this church had to learn, their strong points and their weak points. We're going to look at the good. It speaks about their love. The scripture says, I know and I see the works. I see what you do, is key to note. That God sees exactly the motives of our heart, as we've touched on several times. And it sees the love of this church. I want to visit at the concept of love this morning. Remember a week or two ago, we spoke about the different kinds of love. That there are four kinds of love: the friendship kind of love, the romantic kind of love, the physical intimacy kind of love, and then the unconditional kind of love that God has for us. God recognizes that this church loves. I hope and pray that when God looks on us, he recognizes and he sees that there's love here. Not just amongst each other, but as we've said before, the real challenge, da beta, when the tire meets the tar, to love the unlovable, to love those who don't love you, to love those who persecute you, to love those who are against you. This church had love. But love has fruit. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about the fruits of love. And what is the first fruit of love? Who can remember what the first fruit of love is? Love is? There we go. Patient. That's the first fruit of love. Love is patient. I want to say this about love. It speaks about, it says, I see your love. What's the first thing that's mentioned here? Service, faith, patience. So from love comes service. I want to say this to you. Find somewhere to get involved in your church. And when I say involved, I don't just mean on a Sunday. Your involvement between you, your blessed assurance, and the seat. Get involved beyond your seat. Find some way to serve in your church. A very, very good place to start, and it's not the beginning. Probably the best place to start is in your local care group. What care group is closest to you? Go and visit. Yeah, but Mozzie, I'm a quiet person. I'm withdrawn. You know, I don't get on well with strange people. Well, You know me, right? How did you get to know me? By spending time with me. I introduced myself to you, or you introduced myself to me. Hopefully it was the other way around, that I introduced myself to you first, because that's how it should be. You don't recognize somebody at church, go to them and say, hi, my name is Mozzie. We like your Mesa fair. But don't use the name Mozzie, because it could get you into trouble. Use your name. But find some way to serve. So I want to say this when it comes to love. It is possible to serve without loving. Do you agree with me? It's possible. But it's impossible to love without serving. It's impossible. If you love, you're going to find some way to serve. This church had that. Then he goes on to say that I see your works, but the last will be more than the first. How many of you have been walking with the Lord for less than a year? Within the last year, you've given your life to the Lord. Less than 5 years. Sure, it's a mature bunch of people. Less than 10 years? Okay. 15? 20? 25? 30? Yeah. 35? 40? Okay, you get the point. Folks, this is a continuous thing. How many of you heard, soon after you got saved, get ready, Jesus is coming? 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the line, Jesus is still coming. What's the point of this? Where are we going with this, Mozzie, you may ask? Folks, this is a continuous thing until Jesus comes. You know, the Bible says that nobody knows the hour when Jesus comes. I want to tell you, God spoke to me last night. Sure did. I know exactly when Jesus is going to come. When we least expect it. He's going to come when he comes. That's when Jesus is going to come. But until then, I said until then, we're going to have to love and we're going to have to serve and we're going to have to keep on keeping on. And when we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, we're going to have to keep on keeping on. How many of you know that is the Christian walk? That's the Christian walk. And it says here, their last works were more than the first. That means finishing strong. Folks, that's the essence of Christianity. Not how we start. Because remember how we started. You get to know the Lord and then perhaps you get filled with the Spirit. You get your heavenly language. Man, al wat jy wil doen, jy wil net getuig. You just want to preach to anything that moves. And no. And then you start coming to church and then you get the first offense. The first little glitch, a little bump in the road, a little hiccup, or a little wrijving van verskil van mening, clash of personalities or whatever. And then it's not so lucky anymore. Or then, especially if you come to this church, the pastor does something wrong. He does something that he shouldn't have, or he doesn't do something that he should have. And then you think, no, I've outgrown this church. My season has come to an end. Your season's a ding is this month. You just got to stay there and grow through those differences. Finishing strong. We need to finish strong. We mustn't have the shooting star mentality. How many of you know people that don't serve the Lord anymore? Maybe, I'm not saying they don't believe in Jesus anymore, but they just don't serve the Lord anymore. How many of you know anybody like that? You see, they started strong. God's encouragement to us, church, is to finish strong. That when Jesus comes, whenever it is, what's going to come, he's going to come after the rapture. That's not when he comes, but that we keep on keeping on, that we're finishing strong at the rapture, that we just finish strong. Matthew 10 and verse 22, Jesus says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures, everybody say endures. Right now, I'm busy watching the 2024 Dakar Rally. Anybody else following the Dakar Rally? It's incredible, eh? Yes, folks. You got to love it. You just do yourself a favor. Just watch it. The highlights are on there on YouTube. They have highlights of each day's stage. This week was the highlights of week one. It's just incredible. Daarso kan jy sien, daar ons het deursettings vermoë nodig hoor. you need endurance because you're in the desert. And as far as the eye can see, there's sand and dunes. And you've got this heavy machinery, either it's a motorbike or a quad or the Challenger class or the souped-up custom vehicles or trucks. But you need endurance. You need endurance. And Jesus says, he who endures till the end will be saved. I wonder, church, why did Jesus use that word endurance? You're going to need endurance. Folks, you can be as charismatic as you want. This is the conclusion that I've come to in a short while that I've been walking with Jesus. Christianity is not easy. It's not easy. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, yes, I know that scripture too. I know it's Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can quote it to you from different translations, but I can still tell you, Christianity is not easy. Remember last week we spoke about how Christianity we involve getting your hands dirty? When you walk a walk of discipleship with somebody, it's not easy. We're called to endure. So this church says, your works, the last will be more than the first. We're going to need endurance. What were some of the bad things that was present in this fellowship? They allowed Jezebel. Jezebel was an interesting auntie. Word. A very, very interesting auntie. If you want to study about this thing, that word sometimes gets used unnecessarily out of context. If I say to somebody, you have a Jezebel spirit, I have the risk of manifesting a Jezebel spirit. You can't just, you know, if a woman is a little bit disrespectful to a husband, you can't just say to Jezebel, yes, okay. I encourage you to read a book called Unmasking the Jezebel Spirit to study that a little bit more. It's called Unmasking the Jezebel Spirit. Very, very balanced, doctrinally speaking, book about that topic. But what that represents is compromise, okay? It seems to be spiritual, but it's false. That's one of the tendencies and traits of these things. So they allowed this woman, and it represents compromise. Yeah, it seems to be spiritual, but it's false. And it mentions her in this passage of scripture. Yeah, he says, "My servants commit sexual immorality, eating sacrifice, and I gave her time to repent." It says, "Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, the show of spirituality, to teach and seduce." The church allowed it. We must not allow it. We've got to guard our hearts and our fellowship against that being present in our body. That was the area of compromise in this church. The next thing I want to highlight from this is that God's grace. It says here, God gave her time to repent. That's God's grace. You know, God won't stop anybody at the door. But when you come in and you start being exposed to His teachings, exposed to God's Word, being prompted by the Holy Spirit to receive that change in your life, and then you go and then you refuse, well, then you're heading into some dangerous, dangerous territory there. It says God gave time to repent. And God has grace. God gives grace. And then it says here, this starts getting so challenging. It says, verse 23, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am Him who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you." Everybody say, that includes me. Each one of you. Even those that didn't say it. "I'll give to each one of you according to your works." But I didn't know that. I didn't get taught that. I didn't get taught this. The scripture teaches in Romans chapter 1 that none of us will have an excuse before God. You know, I used to wonder, you know, if you need to be born again and you need to hear the message of the gospel, what about people that never, ever, ever get to hear the gospel? So that means there's two ways of being saved. One by being born again, and then another way of never hearing at all. If somebody somehow ends up on an island and nobody ever preaches to them, well, Romans chapter 1 teaches that every one of us has an inbuilt God consciousness, an awareness of God. And those people that never hear on the island can choose. Either they're going to worship the palm trees or worship the moon that they see at night or the sun that they see by day, or they're going to worship the wells that they see splashing in the ocean, or they're going to choose to worship the living God. None of us can have an excuse when we face the Lord's judgment seat one day, people. Every one of us get an opportunity to choose. And guess what? God reveals himself to you in your spirit. And we know testimony after testimony after testimony where Jesus is personally appearing to people where Christians have not yet been able to get the gospel to people in some very restricted Islamic areas. So nobody is with excuse. So each one will be judged according to your works. According to your works. It says works. That means effort will be required. It's going to require effort. I believe I've said enough this morning about the difficulties of Christianity and that it will require hard work. But it is according to our works. All of us, all of our works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? That each one may receive the things done in the body. This is for once you save, not the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. The salvation one is the great white throne judgment. You stand before the Lord. This judgment seat of Christ is where we get awarded according to our works. That each one may receive the things done in the body. Done where? In the body. In the body? And in the body of Christ. What we have done in the body of Christ. What kind of a brother or sister were you to the body of Christ? You might say, well, yo, Mozzie, me, I come in on a Sunday and I come out. I didn't get involved in anything. I didn't do anything. And that's fine. Okay, but what about the gifts that God had deposited in you that he wanted you to use to be a blessing to other brothers and sisters in the Lord? We're going to receive according to our works the things done in the body. According to what he has done, whether good or bad. I wonder what that's going to be like. Daar gaan nie gestraf word nie. That's all done, paid by the blood of Jesus. If you've truly repented, that's all done. But I wonder what that's going to be like when we are going to be judged, awarded, spoken to, dealt with according to our works, what each one has done in the body. That's going to happen. It's going to happen to each one of us. Then it goes on to say, it says here, to those who overcome and to those who endure, I will give power over the nations. What does that mean? Folks, if I look at how things are going in this nation, we encourage you all the time to pray for the leadership of this country, pray for South Africa, pray for Israel. It's biblical to do that. In case you do not know, this week the South African government took Israel to court into the International Court of Justice for the crime of genocide for defending themselves. It's like, ek weet nie van julle nie, but I honestly don't know what to say about it. There's things that I want to say, but I won't because I'm preaching. If you think of how we do that when this country is doing what any normal country would do to protect its people, that's what's currently going on. And the decisions that different nations make, may God have mercy on this country. It says, yeah, I will give power over the nations. What does that mean? I'd like to bring it close to home this morning to say this, church, that it means that you, well, whether you're Christian or not, everybody influences somebody some way or another. But especially when you're a Christian. Especially when you're a Christian, because your responsibility then is so much more. So when we have power over the nations, it means that we as the Church of Jesus Christ, as men and women of God, have influence over people. Everybody influences somebody in some way or another. Okay? In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know how you sharpen your countenance, the countenance of your friend? They ask you, hey, my bra, hoe gaan het? No, sharp, ek sê. You influence each other. How do you do that? Well, a brother sees an area that you're a little bit stronger than him, and he learns from you, and vice versa. As iron sharpens iron. En het jy gesien, dis in Afrikaans, jy slyp die mes, nee, jy slyp om skerp te maak, jy slyp. What happens? There's iron filings that are left on that sharpening stone. I've blessed myself to one of those presents from Mozzie to Mozzie, love Mozzie, for no special occasion. One of those lekker Lansky sharpening stones where you have the different grit stones and the different levels that you put it on and the angles and it's just, mwah. And I sharpen blades that you can shave with it. Nisu anima, so. And you see the friction in the brave, and there's metal filings in the stone and there's pieces of the stone on the metal of the blade that you're sharpening. So there's an exchange and there's a giving and there's a breaking down and there's a changing. So there's influence. And we're supposed to have that influence to be sharp, to make a difference. How many of you tried cutting something with a stomp mess? It's like, it's just not lekker. And then you cut yourself with something that's super, super sharp and you didn't realize how sharp it is. And that's the principle here. We influence each other. We should be having an influence on the world out there as salt and light. And then it says this, I'm like, I still don't know the full depth of it. Why does Jesus use this language? If I was Jesus, and thank God I'm not Jesus, I would have said, you know, and I'll give myself to you. I'll reveal myself to you. You know, I'll show more of myself to you. This is Jesus speaking. God gave Jesus the revelation and the Lord sent his angel to John. And this is the message from Jesus. He says in verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. The words of Jesus, I will give him the morning star. Morning star is one of the names of Jesus. Jesus saying, I will give myself to you. He uses that title, the morning star. What you see. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus saying, I will do this. I will give myself to you. I'll reveal myself to you. Remember that scripture from the Psalms. It says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of the heart of your heart. I've shared with you several times how my mind changed concerning that. I used to have this understanding. I delight myself in the Lord, and he'll give me the desires of my heart. The desires being the nice things. Remember last week I said I like nice things. I believe God gives people the desire for nice things because God doesn't have nice things. He has the best of the best of the best. So I say, I delight myself in the Lord. Therefore, he'll give me the desires of my heart. So my delighting myself in the Lord and my delight is here. And the nice things are here. But actually, it's one in the same. Because when I delight myself in the Lord, what becomes the desire of my heart? The Lord. And he gives himself to me. And that's what God promises us. I want to summarize as the deep end comes up to lead us in a time of worship again. I want to summarize the lessons that we learned from this church. The good is that they had love. And the love led to service. Sacrificial service. The Christian walk, folks, is sacrificial service. It's going to cost you time, energy, effort, and yes, even money. The last works were more than the first works. The encouragement here is to finish strong, to endure till the end. When we endure till the end, we will be saved from ourselves and from the wiles of the wicked one. To guard against the bad, make sure that there's no compromise, that there's no sexual immorality, that there's no false pretenses, false spirituality, that there's grace also, that we give as much as we receive. Grace. And then we're going to receive according to our works, that there's going to be this award ceremony before the judgment seat of Christ one day for all of us according to what we have done in the body. Then we spoke about the power of the nations. That means we'll have influence over the nations, and we most certainly do have influence over each other. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And then the morning star, Jesus will give himself to us when we walk like this. Our prayer this morning is that we repent of the bad, if there's that in this body like there was in this church, and that we build on the good that there was in that church, that there is in this church, that God can take us from strength to strength and from glory to glory as we grow in the Lord. We thank you for making the time to come and fellowship with us this morning and celebrate Jesus. We thank you for leaning forward and just opening your heart and being receptive to what God teaches. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly and have a Jesus-filled week. God willing, we'll see you same time, same place next week. And I think next week is the start of the prayer and fasting week, isn't it? So I'm going to be in a teaching. We're going to take a break from the Revelation series. We're going to do a teaching on fasting so that we can go flat out into the week of prayer and fasting. Bless you, love you, thank you. Over to the deep end and the splash.